אנחנו קוראים בספר
We are reading from Zohar for All. Article Vayeshev on page 38. You may find the text on kab.tv. If you have any questions, you may also ask them on kab.tv. Chosen relevant questions will be asked live during the lesson. Once more, page 38, letter 258. When a person is taking part in reading the book of Zohar, if he does it correctly, more or less, he needs to check himself. The measure of his advancement. Of course, we cannot truly precisely measure our advancement. We don't have an understanding of what the initial condition we are found in, our attributes, what we need to reach, not the end or the beginning. They are not revealed to us. But the steps of advancement from time to time, the difference between the states, that we can locate, see. The sight must be in sensation, that it's easier and for a person, more natural, to depict in what's happening in the book as if occurring in him. Each and every word that the book is written in, that a person naturally begins to search within him where it's found. He feels that like the book invites some reactions in him on every word, on every symbol, every sign, that he begins to locate the internal system of the soul. In which he is part of, which he's found in. He begins to see that the body that he depicts to himself, that's found in him, and this open abyss, this world, the distant, the close one, the entire universe, or then reality that is depicted in him, it's all some internal sensation in which there is depicted in him a part of the sum total. What is depicted of the sum total state of the self and this entire universe. And there is another sensation depicted, that the book of the Zohar here begins to light it up, to burn it up, to reveal it. And both these perceptions awaken in me and are present in me in some relations between them, that even this new form of perception of reality through what the book of the Zohar depicts sometimes becomes more dominant, stronger, in controlling and determining than this perception of reality. And it seems that what seemed to be beforehand, before reading the book of the Zohar. So that's one check, that a person checks himself this way. Is he advancing from time to time? The second check, he begins to understand that same point in the heart that he was given, it truly just seems to him now as a point, only as a point, from the lack of sensation, lack of impression, lack of revelation, lack of his perception. But in sum total, it includes in it all the souls, all the worlds, all the reality that the Creator created. Rather, just as we learn from the world of infinity, and even beforehand to the four faces of direct light, and even beforehand from the point of existence from absence, from above there was this concatenation, its concatenation of point. And now we have to cause the concatenation, the its expansion of the point from our forces. Of course, we here do not have so much forces in us. Rather this, that we are making the effort ourselves to expand this point by we are finding the parts of this point in our friends. We want to be impressed from them, and then the extent of our impression causes us to begin to see within that point, not a point but many individual points tied between them in a net, and the connection between them called the system of the souls or the system of the worlds. The system of the souls is a more internal system. The system of the worlds is a more external one. And this is how we reveal in that same point that we received the entire reality, that such it expands, and then we begin to reveal in it everything. So as much as a person begins to see within his point in the heart that it is incorporated of all the friends, and then for more distant ones, and then for more and more parts, until it includes in it the entire reality, if this sight is clarified in him, this perception, this sight, this too is a nice sign for advancement as a result from the correct reading of the Book of Zohar. Well, and there is more signs, different ones. So we hope that we will speak more of this and succeed in locating them. In the meantime, everybody together, and from within this point in each and every one, let's read letter 258, titled "Let a Double Portion of Your Spirit Be Upon Me." The Creator always grants the wishes of the righteous, all the more so with the spirit of holiness, which the righteous Elisha inherited, since Elisha was his servitor and worthy of inheriting him. Letter 259. A double portion of your spirit be upon me. Is it even conceivable that he asked for two for one, that his spirit would grow twice as great as the spirit of Eliyahu? How did he ask for something that he did not have, since one cannot give what one does not have? Indeed, he did not ask for twice the spirit for one, but asked of him that the spirit that he did have, with that one spirit, two miracles will occur in the world. From what Eliyahu had done with him. If you see me, why did he condition his request on that? And he told him, if you can grasp the essence of the spirit that I have left for you when I was taken away from you, you will have it, because the essence of that spirit is that when he gazes upon it, the spirit, when he sees Eliyahu, the dvekut, adhesion, will be in him as it should be. Since Eliyahu is the root of the spirit, the spirit is incomplete unless it is connected to its root, which is Eliyahu. Hence, when one gazes at the spirit, one should see its root, which is the form of Eliyahu, along with it. specifically, one should see his form in it. When he left him, the spirit, when he was taken away from him, this is why Eliyahu told him, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, since the spirit will act in full. What's spoken about here is two different degrees, Elisha and Eliyahu, the connection between them. Yet, he asked to be able to do with his spirit twice as much as Eliyahu did with him. Did he ask for what he did not have? After all, since Eliyahu did not act, then he did not have the power to act. So how could he impart this power upon Elisha? And should you say that anyone can act with his spirit as much as he wants and does not need additional upper force, then he should have asked that of Eliyahu in the first place. And he should not have asked that of Eliyahu in the first place, since he could have acted on his own as much as he wished. Well, we understand that we can't rise from the lower to the upper degree without assistance. And a few assistances, yes, and deficits and forces from around us, that the ascent from degree to degree is dependent upon many supporters that take part in that same ascent. The thing is that it is known that during the breaking of the vessels, 320 nitzotzin, sparks, fell into the klipot, shells. 8 kings fell from each sfira and the 10 sfirot of Nikudim, Dat, Chagat, Nihim, and each of which there are 4 bchinot, chuptum, 32 bchinot, discernments, from each sfira, and 10 times 32 is 320 bchinot. However, only 288 nitzotzin of those can be sorted and corrected during the 6,000 years. These are the first 9 sfirot and the 10 sfirot of Nikudim, where 9 times 32 is 288. But the 32 nitzotzin in the Malchut were impossible to sort and must not be touched. Thus they remain cast away in the klipot for the whole of the 6,000 years that the world exists, until the end of correction. And since this 10th incorrigible 32 is mingled in each body, every person must die. At the end of correction, when the 10th 32 is sorted, it will be said he will swallow up death forever, since all the klipot will be cancelled and all the lights will appear. We could ask, since it is forbidden to sort and to touch this 10th 32, which is thrown into the klipot since the breaking of the vessels, how is it possible that it will be corrected in the future? The truth is that there is no need to sort it or correct it whatsoever, because at the conclusion of the sorting and correction of all 288 nitzotzin, the 10th 32 will be corrected by itself and will not require any special sorting. The discernment of Eliyahu is to bring about the conclusion and the end of the sorting and correction of the 288 nitzotzin, with which the stony heart is instantly corrected. Eliyahu is bon in gematria, for his whole purpose was to correct the bon, which is the quality of malchut, and to bring the 1032 out of the klipot. Each righteous has his role. When he completes his role, he immediately departs and rises. Hence, even though Eliyahu is the one who reveals the correction of the stony heart, he does not do anything with the perfect lights that appear as a result, for he immediately departs to heaven, since his role has been completed. Once more, we here are regarding these 2 degrees, that one completes the role like the father and the student, teacher and father and son, teacher and student, that each one has his role, and then it finishes, and each one of us, this must be scrutinized, because each one of us correct the first 9, and then is clarified in him the correction of the stony heart. This is why the Zohar explains that he had 2 spirits, one from the 288 nitzotzin and one from the stony heart, for one cannot give what he does not have. He asked of him that the spirit which Eliyahu had, the spirit from the 288 nitzotzin, would do twice as much, that it would reveal to him the lights and operations of the 1032 as well. There is no specific spirit to the 1032 at all. Instead, it appears along with the conclusion and the final scrutiny of the 288 nitzotzin. But although Eliyahu did not reveal the lights and operations of the 1032 himself, it does not count as being in his authority. Rather, his role was only to show the sorting and correction of the 1032 in general. And Elisha asked that besides his spirit of 288, he would also obtain the correction of the 1032 from him. Thus, he would be able to reveal the 2-fold lights by himself, the illuminations of the 288, as well as the illuminations of the stony heart. But why did Eliyahu condition the 2-fold obtainment on seeing if he is taken away from him? This is so because the time when the correction of the 1032 appears is the last minute of his being in this world, since immediately after he revealed it, he rose to the heavens, because his role has been completed. This is why he told him, if you can grasp the essence of the spirit of the stony heart, which I have left for you when I was taken away from you at the last minute of my being with you in this world, you will have it twice as much. But if you lose this minute of seeing me, you will not obtain twice as much, because the spirit of the 1032 does not appear before. When Elisha observes the spirit of the 1032 to attain it, when he saw Eliyahu being taken away from him, he will cling and will attain it properly. This is so because only at that moment, when he saw him being taken away from him, was the time of his appearance and not before.
These are adjacent degrees, and as one leaves, immediately comes the other and the merging of the Rishimot. 261. One who considers that he has learned from his teacher and sees him with the wisdom he has learned from him, it is also the previous degree with respect to the student. It is in each one of us, these two degrees exist in each one of us, can add in that spirit. Joseph saw his father's form in the spirit of wisdom in all that he did. This is why he succeeded and was given another spirit in higher illumination. Because Joseph and Jacob are Tiferet and Malchut and Yesod. It's the Katnut of the middle line and the Gadlut of the middle line. Thus, Jacob illuminated only covered Chasadim, discerned as from the Chazeh, the Zeranpin, upwards, the Tiferet of Zeranpin. But Joseph illuminated and revealed Chasadim in illumination of Chochmah. Since he was the middle line from Chazeh de Zeranpin downwards, thus he illuminated more than his father Jacob. We always learn on every degree, first of all, Ibul, then Inikar, Katnut, and then Gadlut. Yes. 262. When that wicked told him, "Behold, a wine was before me," Joseph was alarmed, for he did not know what this was about. He feared it was about the wine of the Sitra Achra, which extends from the left, and which is not united in the right through the middle line. But since he said, "And in the wine were three branches," meaning illumination of the left united with the right through the middle line, his spirit has instantly lifted and had been enhanced with illumination. He gazed upon his father's form, who is the middle line, and then his spirit shone and he knew the things. Item 263. Joseph said, "This must be news that gives complete joy, since the wine is the assembly of Israel," meaning we have to envision within ourselves the relation between our inner attributes, that this is how they refer to one another. This power is happy, and this power tries to connect to the third power and fourth power, and again to the first. And this is how, by getting along between them in a certain relation, they try to depict things, to find a new possible state, to ascend to it. God forbid it's not about history, and none of what is written is about history. Never existed. And perception of reality, like we learn it, there is no time. Time does not exist. All that exists doesn't exist in the way it seems to us existing now. We as if now want to awaken from a dream into a new reality. So let's depict the relation between the forces that the book describes. 263. Joseph said, "This must be news that gives complete joy, since the wine is the assembly of Israel, the Nukva. By that, Joseph was told that it was her time to reign. And in the wine were three branches, three upper degrees that emerged from this wine: priests, Levites, and Israel. Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet, the Zeranpil, which shine in the Nukva when she is complete. You see how Baal HaSulam, you don't see that the commentary to the Sulam comes in between the words of the Zohar here, but how he every time kind of breaks the picture as he puts in Sfirot next to such ordinary words. And then immediately brings us to an inner direction. Chapter 264. And as it was budding, its blossoms shot out. This is so because it is for them that the assembly of Israel rises to the Zeranpin and is blessed by the upper king Zeranpin. Its clusters produced ripe grapes. Those are the righteous in the world who are as properly ripened grapes. Another thing, it clusters produced ripe grapes, is wine whose grapes have been kept since the 6 days of creation. The complete mochin that she receives from the great Vak de Zeranpin that operated during the days of creation prior to the sin of the tree of knowledge. Those are guarded from any grip of the klipot because the wine has not been squeezed yet, meaning these mochin have not been exposed and are still in their grapes, which is why the klipot cannot grip it. Mochin of illumination of the left of Bina is called wine. Its extension from above downwards, which is the sin of the tree of knowledge, is called squeezing. This is why they said about the tree of knowledge that Eve squeezed grapes and gave them to him. 265. This is what Joseph learned in the dream of the chief of butlers. From here on, the dream is for the chief of butlers himself. There are dreams that are for him and are dreams that are for others. Some indicate the future of the dreamer and some the future of others. And I took the grapes means for himself and not for Joseph. 266. If one sees white grapes in a dream, it is a good sign. Black grapes are not a good sign, because there are 2 degrees, black and white, good and not good. White indicates rachamim, mercy, and black indicates din, judgment. All the grapes, white or black, depend on faith, the Nukva, Malchut of the quality of judgment is black, and Malchut that is corrected in Bina is white. Hence, they are sorted by Chokhmah for better or for worse. The black indicates that they need rachamim, that they need to be sweetened by the quality of mercy, which is Bina. And the white indicates that they are governed by Rachamim, since Malchut has already been sweetened in Binah and has become Rachamim. Item 267. Adam HaRishon's wife squeezed grapes for him and brought death upon him, the whole of Israel, and the whole world. Noah approached these grapes and was not properly watchful. It is written, he drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. It spells his tent with a hay and not with a vav. The sons of Aaron drank wine and sacrificed an offering with that wine and died. This is why it is written, their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter, since the grapes caused all that. 268. The light of Chochmah in its direct form, all the yeast, all the wine, this whole thing, it's the light of Chochmah that comes to the Malchut. Either it belongs to the Tet Rishonot, if it's above the yeast, or it belongs to the Leva Even. So he says that on the degrees on which it belongs to Noah or Adam HaRishon, there still was no scrutiny. 268. The chief of butlers saw good grapes in his dream. You see how the Zohar kind of leaps us from one degree to the next. Adam HaRishon, one degree, with Eve and everything. Noah, another degree. The butler, the chief of butlers, a different degree. Now he might speak about priesthood or anything. Mordechai and Esther. Meaning, because the same condition happens on each and every degree, this scrutiny. So he arranges this for us. It seems to us as if he jumps from one state to the next, but he shows us the same phenomena on different degrees and different of view. 268. The chief of butlers saw good grapes in his dream, white grapes, and that same wine where they emit contentment and fragrance in complete degrees, as is fitting. It is a great degree, the chief of butlers, you understand. We're talking about he who knows how to make wine out of grapes and to correctly prepare it, to scrutinize it. Grapes are the degrees of Nukva. The wine is the Nukva herself. When she is sweetened in Bina, her grapes are white and emit contentment and fragrance. Joseph knew this and considered the root of the matters, because he is from the Yesod. This is the exact limitation that he has, that up to this point it's possible and no further. He can precisely discern white and black grapes, wine and yeast. He resolved the dream to the fullest because he was given news in this dream, and hence resolved to dream favorably, and so it happened. The dream is, it means the uncertain state, so by the degree of Joseph entering this uncertain state, unclear state, he solved it, cut and knew how much he can and can't use in this scrutinization, this light called the good wine. 269. When the chief baker saw, damned are the wicked, for all their deeds are evil. and all the words they say are evil and to harm.
Letter 270. Because he began his words with, also, as it is written, I also saw in my dream, Joseph was immediately startled. He knew that all his words were to harm, and that he had bad news to deliver. And behold, three baskets of white bread were on my head. This told Yosef of the ruin of the temple and the exile of Israel from the Holy Land. According to the head bakers, the chief baker, yes? I don't know why there's a division of sentences here. This is not a good division. I did not divide the sentences this way. It's direct continuation. Well, let's continue. 271. And in the uppermost basket, the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. These are the rest of the nations gathering over Israel, killing them, destroying their house, and scattering them to the four corners of the earth. And Joseph observed it all and knew that that dream pointed to Israel when they are sentenced and convicted before the king. He immediately resolved the dream unfavorably, and it came true in him. Meaning, well, you know what? It's not important. Let's not get into this. Let's continue. 272. They saw 2 degrees. The chief of butlers saw when the upper degree, Zeranpin, rises and dominates, and the moon, Nukva, shines from Zeranpin, Rav says. And the chief baker saw when it darkens and the evil serpent governs her, the Nukva. This is why Yosef examined that dream and resolved it unfavorably, for everything depends on the solution. And both saw in those 2 degrees that govern the Nukva that they are either Zeranpin or the evil serpent that one rules, Zeranpin, and that the other rules the evil serpent. This is what is meant by everything is dependent upon the solution, yes? How we solve the dream. But not in our life. Rather, in the degree called a dream, there everything is dependent upon how a person solves it. Questions? Oleg from Britain is asking us, why are we losing connection with the Creator when we go to sleep? Once again, Oleg from Britain asks, why are we losing connection with the Creator when we go to sleep? First of all, I am jealous of him that he's in connection with the Creator the rest of the hours, so that's a big praise for him. That's one thing. The other thing, how does he know why everything's built this way, that a third, well, by us, it's a bit less of our life that we are found in sleep? It's a kind of unique connection in which we need to be found in for correction, for needs of correction. Imagine you had a third more time that you were awake. What silly things you would do. You know, as it says, the sleep of the wicked is good for them and good for the world. So that's one thing. The other thing, we don't understand at all how we are managed, operated from above. This that it seems to us that we are awake in a dream, disconnected from the process of correction, or maybe more actively in it, it's all with respect to us that it's rolling around this way. When the truth is revealed, it looks a bit different. Also, you can ask about people already present in the true world, meaning in Revelation. Do they sleep or not? They sleep. Well, it's not a waste of their time. They can be incessantly in connection with the Creator and make scrutinizations and corrections in every moment of their life. Instead of this, they go and waste a few hours every day to disconnect from this holy work. Rather, we don't understand just how much these states, they are very helpful for a correction. Meaning, this process, the corrections are incessant, unstoppable. This seemingly dream, this connection from the spiritual world, is not a disconnection, it's one of the stages, and it's obligatory, necessary. So don't feel sorrow from this. Feel sorrow from the hours that you're awake and disconnected. That we should have sorrow for. Okay? Is there a connection between this degree called a dream here, between what Kabbalists say that we were as dreamers, that whoever goes exits to the spiritual world, he feels that this world was as a dream? No, Rav says, no. By us, this is what they say, the verse, we were as dreamers regarding our state. There's a few degrees to this verse. As written, Yitziyah Mitzion, like an exit from exile to revelation, to redemption. The meaning to the barrier. That's, let's say, one state. So that truly we exit this reality. Until we exit to the dominance of the Bina, that we are presently in the dominance of Malchut, but not only Malchut, but the Klipa, the shell of Malchut. Until then, we cannot depict the correct reality. So this present depiction, that as much as we make the effort in the perception of reality, as Bala Sulam explains, that the Zohar actively inserts us, tries to place us in this different sensation of reality, different sensation of reality. Until then, we are incapable of doing this. And until spirituality will not be revealed, we will not be able to depict it in all our efforts. Rather, the efforts are as we learned. They themselves are good because they invite upon us the illumination of the surrounding light. So when we pass the barrier and begin to exist above the restriction, the tzimtzum, meaning the eyes are at least opened up to the light of chasadim, to the attribute of bestowal, then a person exits these restrictions of time, motion, and space, or olam shana nefesh. Then he begins to see reality above time, above space, above motion, these imaginary things we have here. That then he begins to alive in, to live in, what Baal HaSulam depicts to us in the introduction to the preface to the Zohar, then it occurs. Then we understand that beforehand, where we were, it was a dream. And all the people who still not have reached this, they too are in a dream. But in spirituality, there are also degrees of dreams, and there are solutions, and degrees called that a person is awake, or that the soul is in a state of revelation of Chokhmah, where there specifically the Chasadim, the Kista de Chayuta, that's what was called to be there. In spirituality, it's quite a dream. As we say that the sleeping, lying down, these are states which are quite awake and alert, big scrutinizations and very sharp, in quite suspense and scrutinization, but they're called this way. So there, in spirituality, it's a different form of a dream. Meaning a person intentionally enters the... In our reality, we also say this, that we want to enter a dream. Yes, it could be a good dream. We speak, let's say, we say, oh, it came to me in a dream. That like, the dream is like a state of reception of decisions. It's some condition for solutions of the problems. That they too are called dreams. So, this is taken from spirituality. There, the state called the dream is a condition for work, for a solution. The question is only in this. Is the solution coming from within the dream or after the dream? It's two different degrees. And as here it's spoken about Yosef and the chief of butlers and the chief of drinks. Yes, that this is one degree scrutinizing the other degree. Wait, you have a question? No stories. I don't care if you wrote it down. I want a question. I'll work you out. I hope it'll be in your eyes as new. Is the force operating upon us good or bad? Or it could be that a force is incorporated of two states, good and bad. The force operating upon us is good and bestower of good, and there is none other than Him. And more than that, there's not to add. All the rest, how a person depicts it, and not that the force itself which operates upon him, that's dependent upon the man himself. How do I know that he is like this? That's how Kabbalists write that they revealed it. That they revealed him in the biggest awareness in these forces, that there is none other than him, and that he is good and bestower of good. The good that does good. Title, Create Me a Pure Heart, O God. Letter 273. Create me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. A pure heart, as it is written, give your servant a heart that hears. It is also written, a merry heart has a continual feast. And this is why it is certainly a pure heart. 274. And renew a steadfast spirit within me, as it is written, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, which is the Spirit of the Messiah, Mashiach. It is written about that Spirit, and I will put a new spirit within you. And David prayed for that steadfast spirit, the spirit of the Mashiach, to renew a steadfast spirit within me. 275.
There is another side to try and feel, David, what kind of a discernment is that? So that from this discernment you can demand, ask, be in touch with such a spirit called Mashiach. 275. There is another side, an impure heart and a spirit of distortion, which incites people to sin. This is the spirit of impurity called the spirit of distortion. As it is written, the Lord has mixed within her a spirit of distortion. This is why David asks, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew refers to the renewal of the moon, the renewal of Nukva's Zivug with Zeranpin. When the moon is renewed, David, king of Israel, the Nukva, lives and prospers, meaning obtains Mochin Dechaya. And it's said about that renew, meaning renew the Zivug with Zeranpin. A person has to constantly be concerned about how to renew himself. To constantly care for this. 276. And I will be a lying spirit, is the spirit of Naboth, the Israelite, but can souls return to this world after they have risen? This is perplexing, for he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth. How can this be? Is it possible that there is a descent of the soul? You're being raised in sanctity and not lowered. If we speak about the true perception of reality, not the lifeful one we depict now, that there are bodies and the soul comes, clothes in a body, leaves it as if our body and there is another world. If we're talking about true reality, that all are degrees. Everything are degrees, and I envision these degrees as closer and more distant from correction. And that's all there is. So how could there be a descent? There is an addition on the left side of the will to receive in order for me to correct it on the right. But a descent, that's against the whole direction. 277. What is the reason that Ahav was punished? After all, it is the law of Torah that Samuel be put before Israel. As it is written, he will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves. And if Ahav took the vineyard from Naboth, it was by law. Moreover, Ahav would have given him another vineyard or gold, but he would not take, so why was he punished? 278. As they said, that spirit was the spirit of Naboth. But could the spirit of Naboth rise and stand before the Creator to ask him for a lie? As it is written, then a spirit came forward, and I will be a lying spirit. And if he were righteous, how could he ask for a lie in the world of truth? And if he were not righteous, how could he stand before the Creator? 279. Certainly Naboth was not righteous enough to stand before the Creator, but another spirit was ruling the world, the spirit that always rises and stands before the Creator, entirely in man, the spirit that always rises and stands before the Creator, Satan. One against the other, the Creator is the Zeranpin that always works around the Malchut, and Satan stands against us. It's the other side, the opposite side, the backside. He is the one who fools the people of the world with lies and who lies in the Holy Name. Of course, in order to point out the truth. And one who is accustomed to lying always engages in lies. This is why he said, I will go out and I will be a lying spirit. The Creator told him, go forth and do so. As it is written, he who practices deceit shall not be established before my eyes. Hence, it is certainly a lying spirit. Item 280. We should also explain that he was punished because he killed Naboth. But if he took his vineyard, why did he kill him? Since he killed him without a sentence and took his vineyard, this is why it is written, have you murdered and also taken possession? Many are the people in the world who were deceived by this lying spirit, and it rules the world in several ways and through several deeds. Of course, we're not talking about our world here, and the Zohar doesn't come to tell us naughty, naughty, and tell us morals, how people are one way or another. It's clear there is no one to speak about altogether. You can't say such a thing at all. How many people in the world that this deceitful spirit, by this lying spirit, and it rules the world in several ways. It's obvious that there's no more than that, but again, we're talking about all the degrees and steps a person goes through in the spiritual world. He has the same problem. The Creator has created one against the other. Therefore, the scrutinization is always between good and bad, truth and lie. What I wanted to say is that don't be influenced by the Zohar, that as if suddenly it speaks about our world and talks morals. There's no such thing. It doesn't refer to this world at all. It refers to the souls and the worlds of Bia, and only with respect to the souls. There isn't a single word that talks about those we envision here now in this reality. 281. This is also is why King David wished to be kept from the lying spirit and to be far from impurity, as it is written, create me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. A person who now starts to envision, what is King David HaMelech, King David, what's that discernment? This is what that discernment feels at the moment, a pure heart and so. This is the steadfast spirit, and the other is a lying spirit. Hence there are 2 degrees, one that is holy, the steadfast spirit, and one that is impure, the lying spirit. And again, it's the panim and the hoa in the front and the back that depend on each other and exist only together till the final correction. Only there does the angel of death become the holy angel. And till that point, these states of panim and hoaim sustain each other and exist only one with respect to the other, and this is what we feel. And you can't feel the one, but through the other. 2:82. And the Lord uttered his voice. He always indicates Zeranpin and his court, the Nukva. Uttered his voice is the voice of which it is written, the voice of words. And it is written there, I am not a man of words. A man of words is, as you say, a man of God before his army. Those are Israel. Havaya indicates Zeranpin and Nukva, which are in Zivug, in illumination of the left, the place of the court of Zeranpin. He uttered his voice is the illumination of Zeranpin, which is the middle line and considered covered chasadim, called voice. Nukva is called words, which are revealed chasadim in illumination of Chokhmah, while Zeranpin, called voice, conjoins with her. At that time, both of them are called the voice of words. If you remember, in Babylon, one language, certain things, these discernments are used many times, the voice and words. It is written, man of words, man is Zeranpin. The voice that is said in voice of words is Zeranpin too. And he asks, what is a man of words? That is, how do we know that man means Zeranpin? He replies that the text, the man of God, said about Moses is Zeranpin, the husband of the mistress called God. Similarly, man of words refers to the husband of words, which is Zeranpin. 2:83. Is there a number to his armies? How many appointees and messengers does the Creator have? And all are ready to slander Israel. Hence the Creator came before Israel, as it is written, and the Lord uttered his voice before his army, to keep them so they will not be able to slander them. For mighty is, item 284, for mighty is he who carries out his word. Mighty is that righteous who engages in Torah day and night. Another interpretation, mighty, is the slander who stands before the Creator, and he is as strong as iron and as strong as a rock who carries out his word, as one who receives permission from above, from the Creator, and elicits a soul below. You see, two interpretations. This word, righteous, meaning that day and night he engages in it, the Torah, it's called the Zeranpin, which is in touch with the Malchut. It means that engages in the Torah days and day and night in all different states and conditions. This is one interpretation. The other interpretation is the complete opposite. He is the accuser before the Creator, meaning the evil side, which realizes all the orders, the same way the good side realizes all the orders. 2:85. For great is the day of the Lord. He rules over all, and he is imperious over all, and all are under his government. Happy are the righteous, for the Creator always desires them to reward them with the next world and to delight them with the joy of the righteous who are destined to rejoice in the Creator, as it is written, "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Blessed be the Lord forever." Amen and amen. Okay, so we finished the Parashat Vayeshev. Questions? No, it wasn't Vayeshev. It was Vayeshev. So what is this? The next is Shmini. Nice. If it were a mistake only in title, that would have been okay.
No questions? Wonderful. Good study. If there's no questions after this, the truth is, the Zohar, it has this phenomena. It operates in this, such an internal manner in man that there is not so much what to ask. You need to read it, to absorb it, sponge it up. It's the book's influences. And that's how it works. More and more and more and more. And then suddenly, once in a while, we feel another change, and another change, and another change. This is its action. There isn't so much intellectual questions here, because the effort is not mental in holding oneself in perception of reality. This is the entire point in which through we hope that will open up in us this gate. And that's it. Thus, all the questions are usually questions about the direction, the habit, the manner of the connection with the text and not the text itself. Okay. A student from the U.S. asks, if I feel nothing, despite that I've prepared myself, am I harming others, corrupting others? No. If I do what's up to me, then who's corrupting what? The baby that does nothing besides eat and get dirty, so what? What, he's causing harm to others? He takes part in our world in his degree that he can, that he must in order to grow. So, no. If a person does in every state what is up to him, what is upon him to do, then he's truly maybe doing the greatest things from the biggest righteous in degrees and understand what they're doing and doing big couplings there and unities. And if a person here below makes a small effort as much as he's capable of in the effort of his heart to take part, so he does this maybe even more so. It's not just nice words that I'm saying here. The place where those who are coming forward towards redemption stand, the complete righteous cannot, because those on redemption are, it's a very high degree, because they're always in effort. And in spirituality, we always measure changes. And the change in small measures, small steps, it's very essential. Look, we see about kids, you know? Look at the difference between them in, I don't know, a few weeks. He opens his eyes, he reacts more this way, he behaves more that way. But take your friend over a few weeks. How much change do you see upon him? This is not a joke. You don't want to learn from the example that I give, and it's incorrect. The examples are truly one in comparison to the other. All the worlds are in parallel, and from our world, you will learn everything. So as much as the degrees are small, as much as the man is small and the world in him is small, the changes in him are bigger. We learned Zohar now for more than an hour, and the entire lesson you continue, you repeat the explanation of trying to see everything inside. If I check with myself how much I succeeded in thinking of things inside myself and not outside, I won't come to maybe more than 3 seconds. That's how I felt at some point myself, and later on it changed. Today I'm incapable of depicting the things outside of me, and this occurs gradually, slowly. You don't have big jumps in this. There are small jumps. Suddenly you reveal that you're thinking differently, that it's not comfortable for you to think as beforehand. What is outside? I don't know. You hear a well, a hole, a mountain, Eliyahu. Elisha wants to grasp Eliyahu so he won't fly off to the heavens. I don't know what else we read here. Wine and squeezing grapes. The chief of butlers, the chief of bakers, Yosef gives solutions to dreams. This entire theatrical depiction of they slowly pass, and you truly begin to speak of the internality of the state. Also in our world there are already such relations. You look at the picture of how humans are relating to one another and what occurs between them, and actually you don't look at them that one gives the other and one speaks with the other. Rather, you understand here what occurs between them. Not the motions. This type of gesture, that type of gesture, or this attitude, or these external forms. You try to go inwards to see what happens in the relations between them. The same thing here. You slowly, gradually, when you enter more and more, by the way, this is a matter of not of attainment, but of habit. You begin to simply go inwards into the relations between the matters. When I tell you, I don't know, let's say Niv, yes? So you depict to yourself Niv, you don't look at him now that he's wearing a sweater and a shirt. You have some internal form, internal depiction. And I'll say, beyond Niv, you also have Moshe Admoni. There you already have a different depiction. These forms are not external so much, despite that you also have something joined to it which is external, but it's something internal, attributes, some collection of attributes that when I speak to you about them, you begin to compare between them, to connect between them. These are degrees. It's like degrees in spirituality. Let's say one connects with the other, he tells the other something, he does this or that. Already we are speaking of discernments which are more internal from more internal in man. Not that something is moving in his body from 1 meter to there, or some object is moved from here to there. The more people want to understand the internal process in our world as well, I mean, you see that we do the same. You come to a psychologist, and what do you see? He wants to depict to you and himself what is present under your external behavior, and how you can either by externality change the internality. Let's say your attitude in the to those of the same house, or like from the external inwards. I mean, we are in this world engaging in such matters. There's nothing truly new here. Here too it's the same. The Zohar explains to us a bit more internal what occurs in this picture that it is expressing. What's standing beyond these words? What's the internal essence? It's still not spiritual because we don't know what's spiritual. Rather, what is the chief of butlers? What is wine? What are grapes? I mean, it wants to explain to us what's the internal force in each and everything. It's like some materialistic psychology which Bala Sulam respects. And what will be revealed to us afterwards in spirituality, it will be yet another much more internal stage. A different screen, entirely different. So these efforts which we are making now, it's psychological efforts. Efforts that in our world too, the child can say, I don't know, you look at the tailor and you see what, he's ruining the cloth? Or the surgeon is cutting up a body, what, he's killing him? No, we explain to him what the eternality of the matter is, and here too, not much more than that. There are forces explained to us, and we depict these forces as psychological forces, as forces of the spirit. We can't truly depict it as spiritual, what, bestowal? That too, I imagine, is forces of the spirit. I don't know, bestowal, giving, that a person has like this tendency of giving outwards. But that's still not spirituality. So what we're doing now is still a preparation that we want it to occur. And from these efforts, from this external depiction, that if we read it, let's say, to some guy in the street, that he'll depict it externally, yes, chief of butlers, Yosef, and so on and so on, that we want to enter a state which is a bit more internal. In this, we're only inviting upon us the light that reforms. It will bring us to the truly internal picture. Yes. There's something more we can do to hasten this path? Only together. Only together. Zohar operates and will begin to feel that it begins to connect us. And we'll hope that whoever will not be in this direction will be, just be thrown out, and we'll have a environment, a society which will be much more collected and unified. The end result should be internal unity. And this is the clear result. Everyone should check himself and check if he doesn't feel this. We'll end here. We'll pass on to the next part of our lesson.